Tonight. Appreciate the Lord. Glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So I'm not going to sing tonight. I may sing later, but promises, yes. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be a Christian.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for all that He's done for us.
Glory.
And, it's one thing. There's many needs, and it seems like every day you're hearing more and more people requesting prayer for different things. But one thing about it, God meets every need. And you know, He knows our needs before we pray. He has an answer before we pray. Amen. So just thankful for a God that can answer our prayers and knows what we have need of and gives it to us. And sometimes it gives us our needs and not our wants, because sometimes we don't know what we need, but He does know what we need. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads and speak to the Lord before we get into the Scripture. We're going to be reading from the book of Judges, chapter 13. And let's just all bow our heads and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for, Lord, for You and for another opportunity to be in Your house, Lord, together with Your saints, Lord. And we're just so thankful for our brothers and sisters, Lord, that we can fellowship with, Lord. And Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, You just come amongst us tonight. Help me get out of the way, Lord. Lord, just anoint us, the speaker and the hearer, Lord Jesus, that we can hear from You. Lord, that what we say tonight, Lord Jesus, and not just words, but Lord, it's from the mind of God, Lord. And Father, it's to speak to our hearts, Lord, and Lord, to minister to us in a special way, Lord, to give us what we have need of in this hour, Lord. Lord, we're incapable of doing it, but we know that You are the one that can come on the scene and meet each one, Lord, and just give us the unction of the Holy Ghost to speak, Lord, what people need, Lord. Lord, not just to be speaking from, just speaking out of the Bible, Lord, because the Scripture says that the letter killeth, Lord, but it takes the Spirit, Lord, to give us life. And that's what we desire, Lord, more of You, more eternal life, Lord. Lord Jesus, because that's what we need for it to grow, Lord, because if it's planted inside there, Lord, and it's become real and it's become life, Lord, and we just pray that it becomes, Lord, just a continual growth, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, it's not us in the way, Lord Jesus, but it's more of You that's come on the scene, Lord Jesus. Lord, that You just take over, Lord. Lord, that the world can see Jesus Christ standing in flesh again, Lord Jesus. Lord, what You promised in Your word, Lord, we just pray that You come and do it tonight. Lord, for each need that's represented in this building, Lord, You know each one. Lord, it takes too much time, Lord, to mention all the names, Lord Jesus. But You know each heart and each life, Lord. You know what each name that's been mentioned, Lord. And Lord, You know what their needs are. And Father, we know why they've contacted us, Lord, and asked for prayer, Lord, because we know that You know that that we have a communication, Lord. We have a fellowship with you, Lord, and it's visible through the people, Lord, that we can see that, Lord, that we can touch heaven, Lord, because heaven has come down to us, Lord, and we can fellowship with you, Lord. And you said that if we would just make our petitions known, Lord, you'd come on the scene and meet each one, Lord. Lord, whatever the situations are, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, we just pray tonight, Lord, just help us get out of the way, minister to each one, anoint us mightily. Bless the little bride around the world, Lord, for each one that has a need, Lord. Lord, as the request came in from the brother, Lord, that was speaking about they're needing a place to meet, and Lord, we know that before they even asked, Lord, you already had a place, and we just believe that you'll meet and just go to them and just bless them in a special way, Lord. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." So we're going to drop down to verse 24, and it says, "And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him." Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated, and then we're going to continue reading on in save time. Don't want you to have to stand the whole time, but Judges chapter 16, we're just going to continue on there, just a few more all familiar scripture to you, but you know, I just want to start and lay the whole foundation here. Judges chapter 16, verse 23 says, "And the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, and they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee, strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the two, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Amen. So tonight, if you saw the title, it's called A Victorious Death. You know, most of the time when people think about a death, you know, most of the time that's not very victorious. You know, when people think of dying, and you know, many times, even when we look at things, many times, you know, it's a loss, and you know, they don't see that as being a victory. But you know, we see in Samson's life, Samson had a great victory, but it took his death. It took everything that he had. And, you know, many years ago, I've always been kind of partial to history. I've always kind of liked history. And there was a story that came out from World War II, and it's always stuck with me. And it's one of my favorite stories that come from the Allies. And in 1943, if you know much about the war, at a point the Allies wanted to invade from North Africa. They wanted to invade into Europe, and so one of the areas that they were going to have to go into was Italy, because that was the way that they were going to breach into Europe. And when the Allies had moved into the North Africa, you know, the Nazis, the Germans knew where the Allies were headed, because they knew the landscape and they knew where they would end up. So that's they went and they fortified Sicily, because that was the most logical place that you would bring in your troops. Well, the Allies were needing that place for the invasion. They needed to clear that out. So they found a man that had died. And this man, and if you can read about it, I don't have his name, but this man who was committed suicide. This man felt like that he would never accomplish anything in his life, and he killed himself. And one of the things that he had was he ended up with like pneumonia, had a lot of fluid in his lungs, and because of that, they used his body. The British government took his body, and they dressed him up as a soldier, and they as an officer, and they put these plans and all this correspondence and stuff in his clothing and in his satchel and everything, and they took him and they dropped him off of the coast of Spain, because they knew that Spain was supposed to be neutral, but they knew that they would get the information to the Nazis. So they dropped this dead man out in the water because he had all that fluid in his lungs. It looked like he drowned. That's exactly what the British government said. Here's this captain in our military that had drowned, and they took all these papers. Well, MI5 had taken all the papers that he had, and they coded them, and they knew when they were going to get copied. Well, the Spanish took them. They gave them to the Nazis. The Nazis made a copy of them and gave them back to the British. The British got them. They scanned them, and they realized that the Nazis had made copies of the plans. Well, their plan was to invade Greece and Sardinia. They weren't going to. And so Allies started moving their forces to the right place. Hitler was convinced that they had left Sicily. They had scrapped the invasion of Sicily. They were going to go a different way. Well, Hitler had numerous generals kept telling him, this is a bad plan. But Hitler was convinced this was right. So he went over there and moved all his forces to the right spot. And when the time come, the Americans and the Allies invaded Sicily. And the thing is it cleared it out. We lost less people when we invaded Sicily, because the plan had worked and they had moved all of the forces out of the way. But, you know, it was so amazing. And you say, well, why are you telling it? You know, but what was so amazing about this was they took a man. And this man who, in his whole entire life, this man didn't believe that he could ever accomplish anything. Here's a man that killed himself, and he didn't think he had anything to live for. But you know what happened? When he died, he became extremely valuable to the deliverance of Europe. But the problem was, he never saw that. But you know what it took? It took his death to get him out of the way so that he could be used for a greater plan. And you and I, brothers and sisters, the thing is I want us to understand that sometimes that's what it takes. It takes a death for us to get out of the way, because what holds up the plan of God is us getting out of the way. And here's this man who never felt like he had ever accomplished anything in his life. But you know what he done? When he died, they were able to use him to take a message
a message to be delivered to the people.
Amen.
And you know what? The Scripture tells us that this is a message of deliverance, but to others it's a message of damnation.
Amen.
They were going to take this and they're not going to believe it. They're going to do whatever they will with it, but the message will accomplish exactly what it was sent for. The message was sent to, and then the message came that it was going to be a deliverance. But you know what? To those who it's damnation, it's damnation. But to those who are it's deliverance, it's deliverance. To those that it's eternal life, it's eternal life. But here's this man who didn't think he would do anything, but you know what? When he died, he was able to be used.
Amen.
And you know what? Many people think, you know, what can I do? My life is so low and so insignificant that it doesn't really amount to anything. But you know what? If you ever die out to Jesus Christ and let Him come on the scene and let Him, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me, then you can see miracles take place. You can see the supernatural. People want to know where the supernatural is. Well, you know what? It takes place in humans and just everyday living, and God comes on the scene and He'll meet you. Why? Because it's not a public show. We're not going to see it. People come to church and God comes and speaks to one, and people get deliverance and people get healed, and the next one sits there like a bump on a pickle and they don't get anything. But see, God come on the scene, but He's here to meet your needs, to deliver you, to give whatever you have need of. And here in our scripture, we see Samson. Samson was born to be a deliverer. Samson was born with a purpose. He was born with a commission. He was given something in his life to do. He was prophesied to do something. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We were too. This is from the message, Just Once More, Lord, 1963. I think this is number one. And Brother Brown is speaking. He says, "You brought this to my memory of this great man that once lived for you and the condition he got in. Now, Father, as Samson was willing to die out to himself, die with his enemy, to bring God's victory and promise back, may we with all our churchianity and all our difference die out to our own thinking and accept your word. Die out to the thoughts that we've been told the days of miracles is past, that when we know that that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So we can, you know, for us to die out to our own thinking, that we can come and realize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, to bring forth God's victory.
Amen.
Because, you know, that's what Samson was to do. Samson was purposed in life to have a purpose, because the Scripture tells us that when the 40 years that Israel was in the hands of the Philistines, that God sent them a deliverer to come on the scene, and he was supposed to raise up and he was supposed to destroy the Philistines. He was supposed to overcome them, and you know, and he was given this commission and all the things that God done in his life. You know what? He had a covenant with God, and he had the power to do the things that God called him to do. But the problem was, he never got to the place that he was completely sold out to God, that God was totally able to use him, and he failed in what he was doing. But it took his death to come to the great victory that he was wanting, that God purposed to him. And brothers and sisters, we have been purposed to a great victory in our hour. We've been given a great commission in our hour. We've been given this commission, you know, because as the Scripture tells us, you know, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everything, to each one, because we're supposed to demonstrate the power that's in the Scripture to everyone. Why? Because Jesus came in flesh to do exactly that. And he said, "Whatever I do, you shall do also, and greater than this shall you do." So he came and he demonstrated to us. And he talked about, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he was tempted, even in the wilderness, when he was tempted, tempted by the devil, he showed that he could overcome by the word, and he said he'd give that to the weakest Christian, because even the weakest Christian could do the exact same thing, take the exact same word and overcome the devil. Why? Because he's seen that take place before. And you know what? You and I have been given that same commission to do the same thing. To overcome the devil. To overcome every power of the enemy in this hour. Here's a great man. You know, because lots of times we don't think, and we have to come to this realization, you know, because sometimes we got to wake ourselves and shake ourselves every day to realize who we are. Because we allow the Satan to come, and he wants to take a root in our lives and take hold in our lives, and he wants to squat, be a squatter on our property. And you know what? Sometimes we allow him to do it. And you know, as Brother Randall was talking about Samson, he said, you know, all Samson's life, he became such a great man that rose up. He said, you know, he put fear in the hearts of the Philistines just at the mention of his name. They just mentioned Samson's name. People feared him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. But you know what? He was the one, because he was fortified behind the word. He was fortified behind a promise, a covenant that God had given him. And you know what? You and I are the same thing. We are fortified behind the word. We're fortified behind a covenant that God has given us. And brothers and sisters, as long as we stay behind that word, there's nothing that can overcome us. But you know, the problem is we're just like Samson sometimes. We don't mind getting a little worldliness in or letting little things move and getting a little lax in our Christian walk and our Christian experience. And we don't have the fervor and we don't have the zeal as Brother Wade was talking about. We're lacking these things, and what the devil is allowed to creep in. And then all of a sudden, we wonder why we don't have the victory, why we don't have joy, why these things lack. Why? Because we've allowed it to happen. Because, as Brother Brown was talking about, you can imagine having a great big bank account and having lots of money. And then people walk around wondering about, how am I going to pay my bills? Or how am I going to eat? You know, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know about y'all, but my boys, they don't mind one bit coming to me. Daddy, 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 daddy. And it's just, they don't mind one bit. Got them hands up. But you know what? There's people, well, Lord, if it be your will. Well, let's see. God put it in the word that he said that Paul said that he prayed that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. That's what the scripture said. He even said, prove me and try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven. David tells us that he heals all our sin, or our diseases, and all of our afflictions. He's forgiven all of our sins and our iniquities. So you know what? We have been forgiven, but you know what? It's there for us, because it's a great big bank account. That great inexhaustible fountain of life that Brother Branham talks about. That you know, that little fish in there, well, I may have to drink sparingly. I may run out. Yeah. Or you have this great big bank account where that you have all these things. Well, you know what? He said it's a bank draft of heaven. Right. You know what? He said it's all, he's got everything. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. All things were created by him and were for him. Amen. And he said it was his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. To give you all that you have need of. And we wonder, well, Lord, is this your will? You know, sometimes you have to sit and think, if I had a need, there's people. I know Brother Dale would give me anything that if he could help me and he knew I was in need, he'd give me everything that he had. He'd do anything he could for me. But you know what? He's a man. But you know how much greater is our Heavenly Father when He knows everything that you have need of before you even ask for it. He knows what you have need of. And you know what? He's already got it planned out. You know what? David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You know, he's never failed us. And as you know, if you go back through your life and you sit down and you think, you know, you need to sit down and write down the things that God has done for you, the things that you've seen God do in your life. You know, you need to hang that on the wall and look at it sometimes. You know, because sometimes if you start writing down all your problems, everything that you got wrong and everything, and you start writing down all your blessings and all the things God done for you, then you know what? All of a sudden you don't think about the problems that you got here. All of a sudden it's like, what do I have over here? Because you know what? You're still writing all the blessings and all the things God and all the miracles that you've seen done in your life over here. But you know what? Sometimes all we do is focus on the problems. We always focus on this side over here. We say, you know, what are you going to do? And then we worry about all this over here. But you know what? God's done all this for us. Well, if He's done all that, you know what? He's going to take care of the rest of it too. You know, because if God has given us eternal life, if He's given us the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if we're born again and we're of the seed of God and we are the children of God and we are Jesus Christ on the earth, then you know what? Whatever He has, according to the Scripture, we're joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Whatever Christ has, we have also. So, you know what, it's not like, you know, we're having to worry about it and try to struggle and press all these things. Why? Because it's already there. But the problem is we're just like Samson many times. We get in our own way. We're always getting in the way of God. We don't surrender to Him and say, Lord, come on the scene and just have your will and your way, because we want to do it the way that we want to do it. We want it to happen the way that we want it to happen. And if it don't come my way, and if it don't just stroke me just the right way, just like a cat, you know, petting it, petting it, and petting it. If it don't go the right way, you know what, we get all upset. But you know what? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow up and be rugged Christians. He wants us to be people that can stand on our own feet. Amen. Not be little babies. We let our vision, we let our things that happen to us hold us back. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 says, Jesus speaking, He says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So He's given you the power over all the powers of the enemy. So you know what? He's already defeated before He even comes to bring, to attack you, to even try to come against you. He's already defeated. He's already defeated. Why? Because we have the Word. Amen. But the problem is we don't believe that. We don't believe that He's already defeated. You know, it's just like, you know, if you had something, you know, you see these people that's got property or whatever, you know, and they know it's theirs and they've got a claim on it. You know what? They don't mind. Well, you know, I should say this. Some people will let people just walk all over them and take everything they got, and they just go and smile. But there's other people in the world, you know what? If it belongs to them and you got it, you better get gone. Because you know what? They're coming to get it. If you got it, next thing you know, they're calling the law. And they bring their papers and they bring their court orders and everything, and they don't mind walking down there and say, listen, Jack, that's mine. Yeah. And you got to go. Right. And the officers are right here. They will help you leave this property, or they will drag you off kicking and screaming, but you're gone. And you know what? That's what you have to do to the devil. When he comes your way, you can stand out there and hold the Word up and say, you know what? You got no place to be here. You've got no right to be here. You are defeated. You got no place to be here. Here's the Word. And the Holy Ghost is sent to enforce the Word. He is the enforcer. So if the Word has been given to us, then you know what? He's got to go. Amen. But you know what? You've got to claim that and believe that and stand there and be convinced of it until He leaves. But you know what? If we just stand here one time and say, well, by His stripes I'm healed, and then all of a sudden, you know, when it gets worse and we don't get healed and we're okay for a while, and then it comes back, there's like, well, I guess I wasn't healed. No, you know what? You got to kick that devil out again. If he comes along one time, he don't mind trying to come back. But you know what? If he healed you one time, then you know what? He can heal you again. You always was healed. But, you know, he'll keep coming back. And all of a sudden, you know, you go to the doctor and everything looks good one month. And the next time you go back the next month and everything looks bad. Well, you know what? God's word didn't change. The doctor's test might have changed, but God's word didn't change. What he said about you is still the same. So if he said you was healed, no matter what the test says, you're still healed. That devil's still defeated. If we can just believe what God said.
Amen.
You know, as Samson, here's a great man given this great commission to defeat this enemy that had bound and harassed the people of God all those years. And you know what? He was given a great commission to overcome. And you know what? And he was able to. He was able to do great feats through the strength of God and seen all the miracles that had happened in his life and all those things. But you know what? It didn't come to the place that it ought to have because he did not do what he was supposed to do. Because there was a thing that he was supposed to do, and that was to overcome all the powers of the enemy. But he didn't because he wanted to do his own thing. And, you know, as he went along, you know, God was able to do a lot of great things through his life. But you know what? There came a time that when it came to the greatest battle, he failed because he didn't stay with where he should have been. And, you know, when he came along, you know, there was Delilah. You know, we've seen all the things that happened in his life. But you know what? He got to a place in his life where, you know what? He was supposed to stay away from the enemy. But you know what? He allowed the enemy to come in. The enemy was able to come in for a little bit, and she was able to do her thing. She was able to work her charms. And, you know, he listened to what she had to say. But you know what? He should have never had anything to do with her. And here it was. You know, he'd seen all that they had done. You know, when you see the devil, you know, and you try to picture this. Here's the people of God. Here's Israel. And here they are being killed. And all the things that they had to go through under the bondage of the Philistines all those years. And, you know, ever since Samson was young, he was told, you're going to be the deliverer. You know, here you are. God's anointed you to do something.
Right.
And, you know, he was called to this.
Yeah.
And you know what? No doubt he had seen the destruction. He had seen the damage that the Philistines had done.
Yep.
And yet, He didn't stay away from it.
Right.
When you see what the destruction and all the things that the devil has done to you, when you've seen how many things that's went wrong in your life and all these things, and you know what? And you still don't mind him sitting on your shoulder talking in your ear.
Oh, yeah.
And here he was when all of this was going on, and here Samson was when he knew to stay away from that. You're supposed to utterly destroy that, but you know what? He came along. Brother Bram said, you know, here was Delilah bringing her, you know, her wild, good-looking woman come along, you know, turned his head. Well, he didn't mind hanging out with her.
Right. No, he didn't.
But you know what? That was his problem. He had a pretty face, and she could talk to him the right way and stroke him just the right way, and he just was infatuated. He was just in love, and it just brought him right to the place, you know. And you know what? He had a commission. He had a secret. Nobody knew where his strength lied. He had a strength from God. He had a covenant from God. God had given him a word to hold on to. And yet, do you know that when Delilah came to him, he played it off like it was a joke. Like it was just a joke. After he had seen all the destruction and mayhem and everything that the Philistines had done to the children of Israel, and knowing he was the one to destroy them,
yeah, right.
To destroy the works of the enemy, And you know what? If we see God has called us to destroy the works of the enemy. He's called you to destroy the works of the enemy. You know what? When there's sickness did not come from God. There's no sickness that come from God. God is gave you health and he wants you to be whole. But you know what? When Satan comes along, you know, we all get old, we all have problems. But you know what? God promised us to be healed. God promised us health. So you know what? It doesn't matter what happened. You say, well, all my family's diabetic. Great-grandmother, great-grandfather, everybody, Aunt Susie and everybody else is all diabetic. Well, you know what? Just because you're everybody else in the family's diabetic don't mean you have to be. Everybody in there's got heart disease and cholesterol to the roof and everything else. You don't have to accept that. I got people that know people. You know, you got family members that are got mental illnesses. You know, schizophrenic and manic depressant and all these other things. And you know, and that people worry about that kind of thing. They got it all. They get so bad. Well, I don't know if that's going to happen. Or that's going to happen. Well, you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ came to do one thing. It didn't just come to save you and you struggle and just scrape along in this life until you reach the sweet by and by. But you know what? He came and he took the stripes on his back that you can be healed and you can be delivered. It wasn't just that we're waiting on the sweet by and by. He's here to meet your needs right now. And you know what? You can go ahead and claim the pardon and the blood of Calvary to cover those needs, and they don't have to be yours. But you know, people still wonder about it. They're still waiting on the sweet by and by. I'm not waiting on the sweet by and by. It's given to me, and it's given to me for here to overcome. It's for me to be delivered here. It's for me to be happy and healthy and whole here, not some other time. I'm not waiting for some other time. Amen. Why? Because he said, by his stripes I'm healed. Well, you know what? Hey, whatever the devil brings my way, I'm not going to accept it. Right. As Brother Jewel always talks about, you know, are you going to accept that bottle of rattlesnakes? I'm not signing for it. But here was Samson, you know, after he seen all that, but you know what? Those pretty eyes and that beautiful hair and everything just pleased him so well that you know what? He didn't mind hanging out with her. You know what? And the devil knows exactly what he needs to bring your way to overcome you. You know, everybody's got different things that they work. You know, the devil knows. He's so sly. He's so smart. He knows exactly how to work on you. But you know what? Samson was given a commission to overcome, to destroy the works of the enemy. But you know what? She knew how to work on him. And it was just the right one. And all of a sudden, you know, he just couldn't stay away. Just enjoyed all this time. Well, you know what? Just slowly petting him and just laxing him to sleep, just resting. You know what? And he didn't realize that he was walking down the road to defeat. And he was heading right down the road that he shouldn't. Brother Branham said that, you know, God tried to correct him. And he wouldn't listen. No, I'm enjoying this. This is too good. It's too good. When he knew that he had a strength, he had a covenant. He had a word that showed that, told him, that he was an overcomer.
Right.
He had that Nazarite vow. And then she come in there, you know, after all that time just loving on him and just everything so smooth and lovey and everything. And it's like, well, Samson, dear, where's your strength lie? You know what? It was time for Samson, dear, to exit stage left. And he should have left town. But you know what? He enjoyed playing this game with her. And you know what? There's lots of people in this world that they think they can play with the devil. They're going to see just how close they can play with the world and get in the world. You know what? If you start heading that way, If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. But you're going to start heading that way, just smoothly rolling that way. Well, then he gets out there. Oh, well, if you braid my hair, if you bind me with cords, if you do these little things here and there. Oh, no, I'm just going to play this game with her. He was playing with fire. And he didn't realize just how close he was. But oh, no, this is fine. We're enjoying this. Lots of people think, well, you know, it won't hurt. I'll do this thing one time. You know, there's many people in the world that'll tell you. I've listened to them. People's like, well, you know what? I'd never tried meth before, but you know what? Other friends were doing it, and I decided that. And you know what? It destroyed their life. They smoked it one time, and you know what? They were addicted. There were actually people that smoked meth, and you know what? They didn't do anything else in their life because it killed them. And then, oh, well, it was just one time. Well, that was one time too many. There's many things people think, well, you know what? I'll just smoke one cigarette. And 40 years later, they're battling lung cancer. Well, I would just smoke one cigarette. Or are they going to take one drink of alcohol? Well, we're going to do this or that. It won't be so bad. Well, the next thing you know, all of a sudden, they can't control it. It's controlling them. Yeah. But you know what? He went along with Delilah's plan, and he didn't realize just how close he was to destruction. Here he come along, and all of a sudden, here it was. You know, she just kept working on him and working on him. Well, you don't love me if you don't tell me these things. I don't know why you don't tell me. And all of a sudden, Scripture tells us that he opened up his heart and he told her everything. He told her exactly. He was fortified behind the word. All of a sudden, he was out from behind the word. It's like, well, if you shave my head. I have a Nazarite vow. Razor's never been on my head. God's given me a covenant. He's given me strength to overcome. To great feats of my life, to overcome every power of the devil that's ever come my way. Seeing the people, my people, the people of God in bondage. And God's given me a commission to overcome them. And here I am, coming out from behind the word of God, playing with the devil. Till she comes along and just rocks him to sleep. And he's lost all zeal. And he's lost all sincerity. And he's lost all consideration for the word of God.
Oh, yeah.
And he sits there and he lays in her lap. And she just begins to work. And there goes his power. Falling on the floor. And you know what? Young people, you can do that. God's called you to do great feats in this world. You know what? You don't have to go out and do things that we've all done. That there's a lot of things in our lives that you know we would hate to have to stand up here and tell anybody. But you know what? There's a lot of things that y'all don't have to do. But you know what? You'll make that decision whether you'll do it or not. Whether you'll overcome it and say, you know what? I never touched those things. I never saw those things. I've never partook of those things. And you know what? You can stand up and you can testify and say, you know what? The grace of God's kept me. The grace of God has kept me to this place that I've been able to overcome. It's not me, but God has given me a commission to overcome these things. But you know, we can just do what we want to and just come out. But you know what? All of a sudden, Here was Samson. You know, Samson run for a long time doing what he wanted to. And you know, anytime something happened, you know, he could just feel the anointing just come over him. He was just so anointed. And then he could just do whatever he wanted to. But you know what? One day he lost that anointing. And he was standing there. And Delilah said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. He was like, well, you know what? I'll just raise up.
take care of them. Well, you know what? When that happened, he was bound.
Right.
Here he was, bound, and his eyes plucked out.
Yep.
Can you imagine a man that had been feared by these people, had been able to do great, amazing feats in his life, had the power of God resting upon him, and had having the commission to destroy these people, and all of a sudden, here is Samson, the great deliverer, bound and being drugged through the streets, bleeding. Here he is, can't see, and all of a sudden, here he goes, dragging down the road. Hey, Samson, we got a little thing for you over here. We want you to grind some meal. And here goes Samson, just pushing that thing around and around and around and around and around. Sitting there thinking about, you know what? If I'd listened to the word, I wouldn't be in this mess. I wouldn't be here. Here I am just going around doing the enemy's work when I could be out doing what God called me to do. But I'm out doing the enemy's work. And you know what? No doubt, they didn't mind coming by ever so often and, you know, harassing him. Could you imagine, here you are just grinding along, bound, can't see, and all of a sudden somebody comes by and kicks you. Ha, 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 look at that, look at the great deliverer, ha, ha. Somebody poke you with a stick. Kids over there, there you are out grinding. The kids out there throwing rocks at you. Ha, ha, ha. There's the great deliverer. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And you know what? He listened to that the whole time. And you know what? He began to think about all the things that God had called him to do. All the great feats that he had had in his life. All the miracles. All the things that God had called him to do and all the things he'd been able to do. And all the things that he couldn't do because he got in this mess. But you know what? The scripture tells us that the hair began to grow. You know, that covenant began to come back.
Right.
You know, it began to grow out again. And here they are making fun of him, making sport of him. And, you know, here they are. They built this great temple, this great building to their great God Dagon. Oh, look, God Dagon has delivered this great enemy of ours to us. And here we are. And we're going to get drunk and we're going to have fun and we're going to make sport of him and we're going to make fun of him and we're going to make him do all kinds of tricks and everything and we're going to throw stuff at him and we're just going to have a great time making fun of him. But you know, there's one thing about it. If you're a child of God, if you're one of his, then you know what? It doesn't matter if you fall or not. You know what? God is still a God of mercy. He's still a God of grace. But you know what? Here he come to the lowest point in his life. And you know, can you imagine if you were an Israelite and here is this great deliverer and you've seen Samson come out there and he's done all of these great miracles and he's seen all these great feats take place and you've seen all of these people that has harassed your family and your grandmother and your grandfather's been through all these things and you've seen all the things that the Philistines have done to them and all of a sudden you've seen this deliverer come along and then all of a sudden the deliverer is blind and he's being beat and he's being drug around by the Philistines and you think, what happened? What happened to our great deliverer? God, I thought God sent us this person. I thought God sent us somebody to overcome these things.
Right.
You know what? It's not you don't affect somebody. You know, you don't sin by yourself. It's, you know, because you affect everybody else. You know what? No man's an island. You know, all the way through the scripture, we see different ones. And you know, they thought they could just do a little something. They thought everything would be all right. But you know what? It don't work that way. Just look in the Bible. Just ask Achan. Ask Achan's family. You know?
He thought, well, you know what, this little bit of gold in this garment, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. No, you know what, they took all of them out. They didn't just kill him, they killed his family. They burned everything up. They destroyed all of it. They got all of that wickedness out of the camp. And you think you just come along, you think you're just going to sin. No, you know what, you're going to affect everybody else. Just like Brother Brown or Brother Dale always tells us, when we have a child that's dedicated, you know, you live a life and it just ain't you doing things wrong. You know what? You're living before other people, right. and they're seeing the life that you live.
Amen.
And you know what? You know, I got, if I point one finger, I got three more. I got ten at me.
That's right.
But you know what? That's the truth. Our children see our lives. And whatever we do, they see that. And they know how we live. And you know what? That's the reason you have, you know, I apologize to mine. You know what? Because, you know, I don't live a perfect life. I got faults and failures just like everybody else. And you know what? They say, well, that don't look too good to me. Well, no, it don't. And you know what? We have to make that right. But you know what? They making out there making fun of Samson. All the great things that Samson had done, this great deliverer of God had come along, and here he was standing there, and oh, this is what you call a great deliverer. Oh, you call this great. We're just out here making fun of him. He can't do nothing now. But you know what? That hair had grown back. And you know what? He said, Lord, he said, just once more, just give me this strength one more time. He said, as it was before, let it be this one time. Lord, just come back one more time. Why? Because, Lord, you see these people that have raised up and they're worshiping this false God saying that he's got victory over you. But Lord, if it takes and it kills me, Lord, let me destroy every bit of this, and that the word can be proclaimed that you have overcome all of this. And you know, he come walking in there and they thought, well, you know what? He can't do nothing. Well, you know what? They missed the fact that the covenant was back. And you know what? He prayed to God and God gave him the strength back. God gave him his anointing back, and all of a sudden he came in there, and you know what? He had a desire to destroy all the works of the enemy. But you know what? It took his death to overcome that. And he walked right out there and he grabbed a hold of those pillars, and you know what? He gave a shove, but you know what? He because he had a desire to overcome every ounce of that. He wanted to overcome all that the devil had destroyed in his life. And you know what? He grabbed a hold of that thing and he began to push, and he began to push, and he pushed, and he pushed those pillars down, and it all fell, and it killed him, and it killed all of them, so that the scripture says that more were killed at his death than in his life. He destroyed more. He destroyed the works of the enemy. But you know what, brothers and sisters, we have a great enemy that is before us, and you know what, it's trying to take over us. What, and you know, the thing is all the works of the enemy, but you know what, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You know what, Satan realizes he's only got a little time to work, and you know what, he's going to press. Why? Because this is the hour that the pressure would be applied to the bride. But you know what the thing is as the pressure is being applied to you, you just be just like Samson, and you get a hold of that, and you push back, and you push back. Where the devil's attacking you, then you push. Why? Because God's given you anointing to push, to break the powers of the enemy. But you know what? You stand behind the word, and he'll give you the place, and he'll tell you what to do. Why? Because he said the word of truth would lead you and guide you, and he would give you the overcoming. But you've got to stand there and say, Lord, give it to me. Lord, lead me to the place that I can be an overcomer, just like you'd have me to be. And Lord, it's not my ideas, it's not my thoughts, it's not my feelings, Lord, but it's your word. Give me your word. Lord, give me revelation of the word. Many people have failed on that. They don't realize, well, you know, how to press in. They don't even know, understand it. You know, people have gotten away from even preaching the new birth and expressing anything that, you know, it's just, you know, just haphazard and walking along blindly. But God stirs something up inside of us that we can come to the place that we understand where we need to be and what we need to do. You know what? Because I don't want to have the devil have one foothold. I don't want him to have a toenail on in anything. I want it because God raise me up. God anoint me. God stir me up to the place that I don't want to have one inkling. I don't want to have one place. I don't want to have anything of the devil. I don't want to have any power of the enemy holding me back. Why? Because he's given me the freedom. He's given me the word to make me free and make me free indeed. Then that's what I want to be. I want to be free. I want to be exactly what he's called me to be. And you know what? You say, well, brother Aaron, I failed. Well, you know what? God's given us a word. He's given us a place that you can overcome. Why? Because it doesn't matter. Because he's a God of grace. He's a God of forgiveness. And you know what? The blood still flows. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If there's still a stirring inside of you, then there's a God that's responding to, can respond to that.
Right, amen. Right.
People wonder, you know, why, you know, wonder if they've gone too far. You know what? Sometimes you don't realize you ain't gone far enough.
Right.
You've not gone too far to keep God away from you. God's standing there and God's speaking to you that you can reach out and accept God and you can take his forgiveness and you can take the blood and you can cover it and allow him to remove all that and put it in the sea of forgetfulness.
Right.
That he can touch you and give you exactly what you have need of to overcome. But the question is, are you going to press?
Right.
Are you going to stand there and say, Lord, bring me to the place that I can press, that I can overcome the enemy, that all the powers of the enemy that have been standing in front of me, that have held me back will all crumble in front of me. Are you waiting for a great victory? Are you waiting for somebody else to have it? I'm not waiting on Brother Dale to give me my great victory. I'm not waiting on somebody else to give me my great victory. Why? Because God's called me to come to this great victory. God's called me to the Word to give me the overcoming power. Then it's me that has to overcome. I've got to overcome myself. I got to overcome my feelings and my doubts and everything. Why? Because I just got to lean on what the Word says. If I look like a failure, if it looks like I've lost everything, well then you know what? I'm still going to hold on. And if God sends me to hell, you know what? I'm going to still hold on to the Word. I'm going to stay right there. Are we just going to start to fall away just like everybody else? So many people have walked in this message for all these years, stood up and proclaimed all this, and all of a sudden, they're off to the side. They're blinded, grinding on the Philistine's wheel. But you know what? We've been given a great victory. And you know what it takes? It takes you dying out.
Right, amen.
Lord, let us die out to ourselves, to our thinking. Lord, as Samson was, Lord, let's just destroy everything. Lord, give us that power that we can overcome. You know, because there's a time God's called a group of people in this hour. That you know what? They're going to overcome every power of the enemy,
right.
Even death.
Yeah, right.
There will be a group that won't even have to see death. Why? Because every power of the enemy's already defeated.
Amen.
They're going to come to that place where he's defeated.
Right.
You know what? And you have that ability. God's given it to you.
Right.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's stand. Have the musicians come. You know where we are. An overcomer.
Amen. Glory.
And I don't know what key it's going to be in, but I want to sing that song. We've been made more than conquerors.
Right.
Overcomers in this life. We are made victorious through the blood of Jesus
Glory.
Christ. Because God has made us victorious.
Right.
God has called us to that place. And don't let the things that happened in your past hold you back. You know, because the things that we've had in the past, It's time to put them in the past.
Amen.
Whatever's happened. You know, we need to come to a place that we get a revelation that the things that we've confessed and we've put under the blood, they're still there. They're still covered. And you know what? God don't hold them. Don't remember those things. God don't hold them against us anymore. You know, we're free and clear of all of that. Then you know what? We shouldn't be worrying about them. We shouldn't be thinking about them. We shouldn't be dwelling on them. Why? Because God's not dwelling on them. God's not thinking about them. God's not holding them over your head. But you know what? We do. You know what? If you fail, you know what? Everybody else does too. You know what? We're all human. We've all had fails and faults and failures. You know what? We're always going to have faults and failures.
No, no.
I mean, we're always going to have problems. Y'all going to have to, but you know what? It's you're going to have to keep continue overcoming them.
Right.
And you know what? He's given us the ability to overcome them.
Glory.
You know, if you have a problem and you keep having to deal with the same thing and you keep coming to the same thing, then you know that's the time that you need to sit down and get fortified behind the Word and get to the place that you overcome that.
Amen.
Because you know, sometimes people get to the place. Well, you know, I've dealt with this for so long. I guess I'll always have that.
Right.
Well, if you want that, you always have it. Or you can come to the place where you overcome it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll try it. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious, the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious Jesus Christ. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry. 596. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come. Drawing me to
like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach the goal, 'cause I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my
bless you tonight as we get ready to dismiss, and just remember the fellowship meeting and everything. God bless each one of you. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you, and just continue to pray for each one that's not here, all the needs. Lord knows each one. And I just want to say I love each one of you, and I appreciate each one of you. And I appreciate our pastor and all that, and the ministry here, Brother Wade, Brother Bob, Brother Luis. And I honestly feel I'm the least in the bunch, but I appreciate each one of them. Got a place in my heart.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful for what God's done for us, what God has given us. Amen. So let's just all bow our heads. We're going to dismiss a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for tonight, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful for your blessings upon us, Lord. Lord, that we've been able to be in your house, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, this will be a blessing, Lord. Lord, for those that are listening by the way of the internet, Lord, the ones that will be listening later, Lord, I just pray that you bless each one of them, Lord. It'd be a ministry to each one of them, Lord Jesus, and I pray that you touch them, whatever their needs are, Lord. Lord, you go with them and just be whatever they have need of in their life, Lord. Just continue to bless them. Lord, as we travel on the road tonight, Lord, we just pray that you just watch over and keep us, Lord, and just bless the rest of the work week, Lord, and each one that has the different things that have to do, Lord, as the children will be going to school, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them in each hallway, each classroom, Lord, minister in a special way to each one of them, Lord, and we just pray for the meetings coming this weekend, Lord, we just pray that you just bless each one that'll be traveling, Lord, and Lord, we just pray that you come down and speak to each heart. Lord, we just give you thanks for all things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.